And we are back. Couch Company Podcast. I'm John. With me, as always, Tyler.
Hey, hello.
You were really quick on the volume button.
Well, that's because I was a second
super
late.
Quick.
You were a second late.
I
was
super
quick. It was a thing.
Lightning.
Yeah.
Your cat agrees.
Yeah.
I don't know if it picked up.
It won't.
But the cat meowed perfectly in response to that. Way too fast on it.
He is a jerk.
Messed me up, but I'm a pro, so it didn't mess me up, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It makes sense. Congratulations.
I appreciate that.
I'm glad one of us is a professional.
You're a professional.
Not at pulling a fader down, apparently.
You do great. I mean, think about it. Like, to be a professional baseball player, if you hit the ball 33% of the time, get a hit, I should say, not hit the ball. Like, putting the ball in play, that's different. Mm-hmm. If you get a hit 33% of the time, that's an MVP season. Batting 333, that's crazy. That's awesome. You're one of the best hitters in the league. And you've done the slider correctly more than a third of the time. So, you know, like if you put it in that frame of reference, you're really good at the slider.
But to be a professional, though, you have to be paid for what you do.
I pay you in exposure.
Oh.
Is every musician's nightmare phrase.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
No, it's awful.
Pay you in experience.
No, we don't really get experience. We get exposed. Like, that's what people will tell you. Like, oh, dude, but like, you'll get exposure and someone in the crowd could like hire you. And I'm like, yeah, but you could hire me.
You could.
Because you want me to fucking play at your restaurant, you stupid dick.
Are you doing like a solo? Is that something that will get the exposure? Because like, how can somebody pick that out?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, the classic, you're like, you're a piano player, right? You're playing at like a fancy restaurant.
Sure.
That's like the class, like La La Land. You ever see that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No. I've never, that's with
Ryan Gosling.
No, I never saw it.
Oh, man, Emma Stone. Great movie.
Yeah.
He's like a musician.
It won some stuff, right?
Actress. Yeah, I think so. Great movie. I recommend it. Yeah, you should watch that. I'm pretty hot on my picks right now for you. Recommended Suits.
Suits is really good.
Love Suits.
Suits is not as good currently.
Told you.
It doesn't get better?
What season are you in?
4, which is always the terrible season.
Yeah. What's happening? You're going to have to jog my memory here.
Well, spoilers for Suits for people that haven't started yet.
It's but like
they broke up.
Old.
They're indifferent. Mike left.
Yeah. It's downhill. It's over.
That's
like season 1-3,
sad.
Golden age.
Yeah.
Did he go to prison already? Spoilers?
I guess it's spoilers.
He didn't?
No.
Fuck. That's a thing.
No.
Okay, maybe it does pick back up because that was a pretty good arc.
Okay.
Sorry.
Damn.
Who broke up?
Mike and Harvey.
I'm getting my timelines messed up. I thought that happened later. I apologize. Spoilers for Suits, by the way.
I'm actually kind of upset now.
I don't ruin anything.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
You don't know how it happened.
Yeah.
That's not a major development.
When did Star Wars come out?
1978.
I'm sorry. When did Episode 7 come out?
2014.
Okay, no, hold on. When did the last one come out?
2018.
I don't know. 18, 19.
I think I got all three of those wrong.
Is it 78 for Star Wars?
That's what I said.
Yeah, whatever. So I spoiled the end of Episode 9 for Kyle.
I'll do you one better. David.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings, David, if you're listening to this, which you never do, but if you are, you fuck, spoiled Episode 7 for me. Han Solo.
Yeah.
I was pissed.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, like that, what do you mean, yeah?
No, it's just like...
I could say that about Suits. Like, yeah, of course he's going to prison. They break the law every episode.
Yeah, that's true.
Dummy.
No, that's fair. I guess what, like, I would have been shocked if Han Solo didn't die in Episode 7,
They should have killed Chewbacca, in my opinion.
Ooh.
Wouldn't that get you more?
I don't think they should have brought any of the old cast back. We can't rehash this right now, but, like...
No, I disagree. Luke should have been back.
Yeah.
Maybe Carrie Fisher. She did fine.
Yeah.
But Han Solo was terribly done and doesn't ruin Han Solo, but gets close.
It's kind of funny because with how bad he was there, he was actually pretty good in the new Indiana Jones. It's like you could really tell,
you can tell.
He likes one of them more than the other. Yeah.
May 25th, 1977, in the United States of America, Star Wars Episode 4 at that time wasn't called Episode 4. We didn't know it was the fourth one in the series, A New Hope.
Was it not called Episode 4 in the title and like in the scroll?
No.
So what did
the
it
original?
Say?
Yeah. Just probably said Star Wars, A New Hope.
Oh, okay.
Although
said,
I will say,
that
I will say
confidently.
No, I'm 100% sure.
Okay.
I will say though that George Lucas did have a lot of it planned out. I was watching a video the other day on, it was a rehearsal with John Williams on Duel of Fates. Mm-hmm. So this is episode one, of course. Some might say the best episode, and then those of us on planet Earth say it's the fifth best episode. But which is generous. But they're rehearsing it, and Lucas is there like talking through it, and he's talking about the third movie as rehearsing Duel of Fate, which was really cool. He's like, they were talking about the choir component specifically, you know, like, you know, this epic thing. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's really important, this fate theme, because of what the battle is going to be like in the third. It was really cool to hear, like, he conceptualized the whole thing.
Yeah.
Say what you will about Lucas, I think his macro is really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his he conceptualizes the big picture extremely well.
Yeah.
Like Sidious taking over the Senate and stuff, that's great. Like,
yeah,
that's such a great plot arc.
It's all the dialogue and the little...
It's the technical piece of it. It's the micro. It's the fucking Gungans.
But he has a very specific taste on a lot of that stuff.
It's Anakin's terrible.
Yeah, Anakin's not great.
The love story is awful. Like, I mean, how do you fuck up a love story? Like, making a good love story is difficult, I would say. But making an average love story is like a slam dunk. We've been doing this since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. Like, I don't think Hayden Christensen is just a very good actor. I appreciate him. I like him for everything he's doing. I thought he was good in Ahsoka.
Yeah.
But like, being good in Ahsoka isn't good in Ahsoka. He just has to stand there pensively, say three lines, smirk at the camera, and then fight her. Like, that's it.
Right. It's sad though, because I want him to be good.
Yeah.
I root for him.
He's canon. You can't recast. Like, it's just like, he is Anakin, good or bad or whatever. It's just like, that's him. Just like Natalie Portman's Padme, and I don't think she was very good.
Natalie Portman's not good, period.
I thought she was very good in V for Vendetta. Like, how do you go from that
to Star Wars? That's a great point. Maybe it's a director diff.
Maybe. She was younger, I think, and that was, what, 98 when that first one came out? So she was...
Episode one?
Yeah, she would have been V for Vendetta yet.
V for Vendetta is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think nowadays, if they pulled them back in and redid it and everything, it'd be better. And kids nowadays coming up, too, are much better actors than they were back then.
Yeah, that's true. Which is, like... They have to have, like, no life, right? Like, you know what I mean?
Right,
like, I don't want to know what happens in that world, bro. It's like, you don't get that good unless you're like, not going to school or something.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, it's weird because these guys just come out of nowhere, too. Like, Timothée Chalamet was just, like, suddenly he's everywhere, right? Like, he's going to be freaking Willy Wonka, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's...
Well, it's the Illuminati, probably, right?
Like, yeah, just handpicking who are going to godify or...
I mean, obviously... Well, I wouldn't
deify?
Say obviously, but it's probably not true. But there is something to that, right? I feel like Hollywood does, like, pluck people out and say, like, oh, we're going to make him a star or her a star.
Sure, yeah.
Like, that's pretty obvious to me, I would say, right? They totally push people. Who is the chick in Marvel, the Valkyrie girl? Is her name Valkyrie in this thing?
Oh,
what was her name?
From Fast and Furious.
Yeah, is she from Fast? No, no.
Yeah.
The black hair?
Yeah.
She's in Fast and Furious?
Yeah.
I haven't seen a Fast and Furious in a long time, but she was in like Men in Black.
Was she Men in Black?
Yeah, yeah. Right? It was her and
Thor.
She was
in Dungeons and Dragons?
Dude, I don't know. No, we're talking about two different people. I told you.
Are you sure?
Yes.
The Valkyrie person.
Yeah.
You want to put a cheeseburger on it?
The girl who's running New Asgard.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She's the queen of New Asgard.
Yeah. Is she not Dom Toretto's love interest in Fast and Furious. And
you're talking about two different people, bro.
Okay, well, I'm gonna check it out, man. Sorry,
they're not even close.
I can't.
That makes me so mad.
You play a cheeseburger on that?
Yes, cheeseburger. Right, shake my hand.
Shaking your hand.
Thank you.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
No, dude, you're crazy.
So what is this? Thor: Love and Thunder. Then is probably the best.
No, it's not Love and Thunder. It's.
I just need to get
the best one.
I just need to get her. It's fine.
What's the good one?
No, I forget. I'm so off.
Yeah, you're so off. It's like that was the easiest cheeseburger in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Tessa Thompson is who you're thinking of.
Is who I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, very bad with actor names, but I can see her face, and it's not the face of Dom's girlfriend.
Nope.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
It's not even in the same universe.
It's
it's pretty close.
It's
should we Twitter pull it?
It's close.
Should we Twitter pull it?
It's close-ish. I could see them being sisters in, like, if they brought this woman in to Fast 12,
okay,
be like, oh, it's Letty's long lost sister, you'd believe it.
Well, we're talking about a universe in which I'll tell you this, Marvel's more believable than Fast and Furious.
In general,
yeah.
Yeah.
I believe what happens in Marvel is more theoretically possible than Fast and Furious.
Kind of like how Dom Toretto and John Cena are brothers.
Yeah. That's
in that.
That's bad.
In that world. Yeah.
John Cena's great, though. Love that guy.
Peacemaker's great.
Peacemaker is one of the best pieces of fiction ever made.
Did you watch it?
No.
No. You should. It's funny.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Everyone tells me to watch it, and you know my thing where it's like everyone tells me to watch it. I want to do the exact opposite of that, which would be not watch it. You know what I mean?
Like that's just everything.
Yeah, it's like you gotta. There's a strategy to get me to watch something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's a strategy. Mm-hmm.
So originally, what I was gonna say was when the last Star Wars came out, I ruined the Kylo Ren dies to Kyle.
Oh, we're going all the way back there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Kyle. Well, speaking about spoilers, so
that was like 20 minutes
ago. I know. I just kind of finished this thought because my mind keeps going to it.
Okay.
But I told that to Kyle, and he was like, oh, man, like before he got to see the movie. So then he told Gerard that we were having a kid.
No.
That's not because of it.
No.
I like to prod him a little bit.
So you went to go tell Gerard, and he's like, I already knew.
Yeah, we were waiting to tell Gerard. John and I were going to tell Gerard whenever we were just like playing like Diablo or something.
Yeah,
and Kyle's like, so I might have already accidentally told him because like they like drinking or something, saying like, oh, well, we have to push the soccer.
I thought
trip.
It was calculated. I thought it was like
no, it wasn't like malicious at all.
No, it hadn't like been.
That. No,
you couldn't see Kyle the
absolutely
day
not for something
you
like
spoil
that.
Episode 9. He writes in his notebook like. As soon as I find out Tyler's having a kid, I'm going to ruin it for someone.
Let me put it this way. If anyone would do that, Kyle would be that guy. Because he likes to think ahead and be like meticulous.
Right.
But he's not malicious.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't.
If it wasn't something that, not that it's like super serious, but like that's kind of serious.
Not really.
It's not really serious. But you know what I mean?
I like, just it's felt like, bad because it was like, oh, you know, Gerard officiated our wedding.
Yeah.
I just want to let him know. Yeah.
But he got a little preview.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Because he officiated your wedding. That's like a sneak peek.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know how Kylo Ren... So Kylo Ren made you think of that?
No, we're just
or Fast and Furious made you think of that?
No.
No.
I just wanted to finish it off. Speaking of...
Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious and how Hollywood picks their people.
Plucks them.
Yeah.
Like a turnip.
Adam Driver is a weird one.
He's good, though.
Yeah.
He's good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a weird one. He... like he's not attractive, right?
You mean like
I don't think
he's not
attractive.
Like a George Clooney, Brad Pitt, like a classic
George
Hollywood.
Clooney. Is it just me or did George Clooney fall off the face of the earth?
I think he's being a little bit more nitpicky.
Yeah, but like
he was in the Flash.
No way.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Speaking of spoilers, The Flash is a terrible movie.
Wow, that's
terrible
not
movie,
a spoiler.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Bruce Wayne.
Batman. Spoilers.
Is Ben Affleck in the Flash Justice League universe, right?
Yes.
So then they go back.
Correct.
Do their flashy Flash, and now it's Adam Keaton. No, Michael Keaton. Oh my God, Keaton, Aquaman. My mind's fired after this week.
Did they go that far back?
Adam West is in there.
Well, isn't he dead?
Yeah, everything is CGI'd. So, Henry Cavill CGI'd, all the Batman, the Superman,
what?
Christopher Reeve CGI'd. Dude, they pulled everyone in because they probably watched Spider-Man, and they were like, hey, wouldn't it be great if we just pulled all these characters in? The only real person was Michael Keaton, and Ben Affleck was there for a little bit or whatever. So anyway, all the flashy stuff happens. At the very end of the movie, he calls up Ben Affleck, and he's like, okay, Bruce, I'm back, blah, 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 all this happened, I fixed everything, okay, we're good. And then Bruce Wayne's car pulls up, and
George
Clooney pops out. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. Man, I can't believe you. I would love to know how much money they paid you.
Too much.
Just to do that way one little much. Cameo.
But imagine if DC was good for a second. Let's picture a world.
I can't.
Do you think if DC was good and they pulled that off, that would be better than the Spider-Man movie where they pulled that off?
I don't know how you do that. Because
it's an homage to all the previous
dude. The people. CGI was so bad. It was
Let's pretend I guess there's no way to
how
do that.
Yeah, because the homage would be you can't do Val Kilmer, right? Like that poor guy.
No.
You could do George Clooney, sure, like that. But you had Michael Keaton in there, but they did it with the I'm going to call it the Marvel style humor, but they pulled it into the DC movie. So you have Michael Keaton, which is like this dark, gothic, completely different tone, pulled into this other universe that just does not work. Michael Keaton was fine, but it was just so bad.
Well, that's been DC's entire problem, is they try to do the Marvel formula. That's Star Wars problem, too.
Yeah.
If we're going to go back to Star Wars. As soon as Episode 8 started, it was a Marvel joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck. Yeah. You can't escape it, dude. They just think it prints money, which it kind of does, which makes me want to throw up. But it's terrible, dude. There's more than one tone. And I like the Marvel style, even though I think it's kind of like a caricature of itself these days, it seems like.
Yeah.
It's gotten so ridiculous.
Not everybody can be Tony Stark. That's the problem.
Nobody can be Tony Stark.
Right.
First of all. Which is why I should have just ended after the Infinity Saga. But they're soulless and they just want money, which is understandable.
I mean, they paid a lot of money for it. They want their...
They want to juice it till it's dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know.
It'll go back up.
No.
It will.
It's dead.
It will go back up.
No, it won't.
Yeah, what's going to happen is they'll have their next big Avengers movie where all the people come together and all the people that are like, it'll get rave reviews. I'm making this up, but it gets rave reviews in the box office.
Okay.
Now people are going to go back and rewatch all the movies that they missed and get hyped up again for it. And then
They're too deep. See, originally in the first phase when that happened, right? You have Iron Man, which was a great movie.
Yeah.
And then you have, Hulk was terrible. And you're saying, the equivalent of that was Avengers came out and that changed the game forever, right? And then people went back. But there was only a couple movies you had to see. If you go back now, if that happens now, there's 100 quintillion TV shows you have to watch, all these movies, all these things. Yeah. Like the hours you have to spend... Not comparable. I don't think it's not the same.
I guess, but you don't need to watch all the original stuff because that ended. So with Infinity War,
not even that. Just that phase. Because of the TV shows alone. The TV shows alone are just absurdly.
Yeah, they're 8 episodes?
That's way longer than any movie. Like you had Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, and Thor. You had 4 movies you had to get through, which is a lot, but
Yeah.
You can skip Hulk because it was bad.
Hulk wasn't as bad as the other
Hulk. They couldn't even get the right actor.
What do you mean?
They had the wrong guy in there.
Well, that was before they got Ruffalo.
It was a joke, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He was fine. I thought he was okay.
He's better in Fight Club.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's better in just about every other movie he's in. I'm not saying that was...
What other movie was he in? I love Fight Club.
Illusionist.
Dude. Fight Club's a great movie. Mm-hmm. You ever see it?
Yeah.
Brad Pitt?
I think it is good.
Is it overrated? You think everything's overrated?
No, I don't. I think it's appropriately rated.
It's in the top 100 movies of all time.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
It's in the top 50 movies of all time.
Yeah.
25?
25 is pushing it.
Pushing it?
Yeah.
Okay. Just trying to feel you out.
I would have to actually sit down and
think calculate before it. It's definitely in the top 100 on IMDb, which I think it might be pretty high up there.
I could see it in the top 50 for me.
IMDb is interesting. Like, Lord of the Rings is like top five.
Yeah.
But the more I think film. The more I think about it, it's like that might be correct.
Yeah.
It's not even on my top 10 personal list, but I might have to redo it because I'm like, I was listening to the soundtrack this week. That's why I put the poll up on Twitter at CouchCo Games.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone picked Star Wars, by the way, which is probably the correct option, but I...
Wait, what poll?
Better soundtrack, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings.
Oh, like this is before, like back in the day?
No, I just did it this week.
You did it again?
I did it again.
Oh, okay.
See if it changed.
So wait, who won? You said Star Wars won.
Sweep. Last time I checked.
What?
Yeah.
Man.
Did you vote Lord of the Rings? I thought you voted Star Wars.
Originally, and then we watched all the Lord of the Rings. I'm like, it's not even close.
You swapped.
Yeah, 100% I swapped.
I don't remember that.
Oh, this was last year. Lord of the Rings is...
It's incredible, dude.
Yeah. Star Wars has a few good ones, but...
I liked your argument for Star Wars because it is... I don't want to say more iconic...
Recognizable.
But it is, yes, recognizable is the correct word.
Star
it is
Wars
more
was one of the first films to do theme songs in the movie, right? So like they have different themes, like that's
like
what
Leia
it's called.
Leia has a theme. Yeah. Which is brilliant.
And they have it where it's like Leia has a theme, Han Solo has a theme, Han and Leia have a theme together.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's the cool...
Well, I mean, that's been in music forever, but yeah, in terms of movies, that might be... One of the first, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, Imperial March is insane. Duel of the Fates is insane.
But even the opening title crawl, man, it's just great.
Yep.
So good.
If we were talking like theme songs, then there's a bigger...
I was listening to The Shire today, though. I'm like, fuck, The Shire's
great.
So good.
Yep.
Mines of Moria is so good.
That just came out.
The Fellowship.
There's a Dwarven game that came out.
Yeah, it was bad, but the song's good.
Yeah, the song's really good.
Song's good. The movie's good. The game, not as much.
Yeah.
Best Lord of the Rings game has to be... what's it called?
Lord of the Rings game?
Yeah.
Hmm. Probably Shadow of Mordor.
That's what I'm thinking, but Return of the King, like on PS2, I've heard
it was
heard
a good
slaps.
Movie tie-in, yeah. Yeah.
Out of like all the movie games, that's one of the good ones.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good movie game.
Wolverine.
Wolverine's a good movie game. Spider-Man's a good movie game.
Iron Man was actually okay, and Captain America was okay. For different reasons. Iron Man had some really good controls.
I wouldn't put those in the same classification.
Captain America had Batman combat. Like, Arkham combat.
Okay. They're not good games, though.
I haven't
the original Spider-Man games were so good, bro.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2, like Tobey Maguire days I'm talking, not the new stuff. Speaking of which, new Spider-Man came out yesterday.
Today.
As of recording.
Right? 20th.
Yes, today.
Yeah.
As of recording.
91. You playing that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
I don't know if I... Oh, man.
You're not going to play it? Here, I'll convince you right here. Ready? Right.
Yep.
25 hours to beat the campaign.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's great. Everyone was complaining about it. I was like, are you kidding me? That's exactly what I need right now. Beat it in a week. Be done with it. Love it, because it's probably great.
I mean, do you think that's in the conversation for Game of the Year for you?
Would that 91 over 100 critic reviews? It has to be.
Yeah.
Right?
So that would be the only reason why I'd play it, is to be able to talk intelligently about it. Like, if it's
you have no desire to play it?
It's not that I don't have any desire to play it. It's just, I mean, are we segueing into video games at this point?
I'm floating around.
All right. Diablo's really good.
Oh, God.
Diablo is very, very good.
Yeah,
it is. And, like, that's all I'm thinking about. Like, when you have a bad day at work and you're just like, man, I'm just exhausted and just burnt.
Yeah.
Diablo is just...
That's
just
it.
Mind-numbing. Like, you just talk and hang out with the guys and you're just killing monsters. And
I love
it's
that. I
so
mean,
nice.
That's Balloon Tower Defense, man.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that is.
But even Balloon Tower Defense has some strategy and, like, definitely, like, that's...
So is Diablo.
To an extent, but Diablo at some point you get set in your like...
I wouldn't say strategy, I would say button clicking.
Button clicking, sure.
Yeah.
But you don't have to focus too much, unless you're like trying to like really press like nightmare dungeons and level up and different things like that. But if you're just grinding XP and just talking and like BSing while you're, hey, I got more loot, and the loot just keeps going up, numbers keep going up, you could do that on autopilot. And
so it's more like a cookie clicker kind of situation.
Maybe not quite to that level, but yeah.
There's some micro to that game.
There is.
You could click and cookie and get a cookie.
It's my highest played Steam game.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's like 400 hours on that.
Mine is probably, might be Rocket League, actually. I got a couple hundred hours on Rocket League.
Yeah.
What a great game, Rocket League, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I heard Diablo. So Diablo has resurrected itself, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's season 2 started on the 17th. It's vampires, so everything's blood-related.
Surviving?
They're not surviving too well. Like, we're murdering a lot of vampires.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Everything's blood-related? Dude, everything was blood-related the day it came out.
Yeah, it's like the season of blood. Yeah, whatever.
I would hate to see. If it's the season of blood, God, can you even see anything? Is your screen just red?
Tell you what, I think there's actually more blood in the campaign where it's like literally raining blood than in the season of blood. The only bloody thing is like you're just picking up vials of blood. That's like currency.
I'm telling you, dude, it's like somebody, I mean, look, I enjoyed Diablo. I think it's a very good game.
Yeah,
but it's like a 13-year-old like was trying to be like, oh, I'm gonna make a rated M game. It's just like, there's gonna be blood everywhere.
Yeah.
This guy's gonna get his head
cut off. This priest is gonna get bludgeoned to death.
Priest, and he's just gonna be a demon. They're gonna convince him to all kill themselves. I'm like, yikes, bro.
Yeah. This isn't too bad. And I skipped through the story.
Yeah.
But it was quick. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not meant to be like another campaign or anything like that. That's going to be in like an expansion. But this is, it's like an extended side quest. That's
okay. That's good.
But like everything that I had an issue with from season one, the original game and stuff like that is like fixed. Like, it's crazy how they tweak some levers and do different things. It just feels good. And I think I texted you like the next day. Like, we stayed up till like 3 a.m. because it felt like, remember the loot cave from Destiny?
Yep.
And you're just shooting in the loot cave. And it was kind of boring, but like, dude, that loot just feels so good. So it's just like, we're just going to keep exploiting this until they shut it down.
Yep.
And last night, or not last night, but whenever, the 17th or whatever, when we were playing it, it truly felt like we were like just breaking the game because it was so rewarding just throughout the entire night. We went from literally like 45 levels in a night.
Wow.
Which is insane. Like, you don't do that.
No.
So it was just like they gave all the XP. We were just, it felt good. The horse feels better. It's faster. It moves better. Just like little quality, like gems don't take up inventory space anymore.
Right.
Just like little quality of life things that's just better, where it's like, oh, I have to go to my like stash, like you have your big chest or whatever.
Yeah.
And before, you had to always like run to the wardrobe. Now there's just a chest next to every vendor. So it's just like, oh, I want to like swap things around and do things really quickly. It's just right there.
Yeah.
And it's just so much nicer. And the the gimmick with this, like last season, it was like you have to get a heart and then you have to like break a heart open and then put it in a gem thing in place of gems, making gems even more irrelevant. But then like you can't swap them out and like they had certain abilities and it was like, it wasn't fun.
Right.
In this one, it's like, did you play the Helltide where like it was actually raining blood and you had to go and collect like fire things, and if you died, you lost half of them.
Of course.
Stuff. So there's that, but blood. and it's a whole other area where you're gathering blood vials and stuff, but you're getting so many of them. And if you get like 50 and everyone gets 50, you can all like throw blood in these like altars and get like 6 legendaries as you're fighting. I don't know. It's like, it felt really, really good to play.
It's a dopamine.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Pure that. And like even dumb little things where it's like, okay, we're going to go to a dungeon. Now, whenever you start the dungeon and click on it, instead of like teleporting you in front of the dungeon with a loading screen, then going into the dungeon with a loading, now it just puts you in the dungeon. You go through it, hit another dungeon, warps you to the next dungeon. It's just like, everything just feels faster and moving, and it's...
Why wasn't it there originally?
I think they didn't want people to blow through the content, and they were trying to stretch it out as much as possible, thinking people would just keep grinding and keep playing the game. And I think now they're just like, screw it.
Do you think all is forgiven?
People are fickle. I don't think all is like, I'm not going to go back and like change my score. Like when the game came out, it was an 80 for me.
Yeah, but you said
I said last night it was an 88 now just from that.
But that's what I'm saying. It. So you have changed your score in your head.
I've changed for this season. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
So it's an 84 overall then.
If you want to average and yeah, sure.
Well, yeah, if you think of the game as a whole, it's like season one happened.
Yeah.
That was a real thing. That was real.
But season one, I would actually put less than 80.
Yeah, you have the original game.
Which is an 80.
Season one.
Which is like a 76.
Season two.
88.
So that's what, like 82?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I'm playing a sorcerer. I'm having a blast with it.
I'm happy for you, dude. Nate
was playing with it.
Yeah, you said Nate was having fun, which that's a red flag, or a green flag, I should say. That's a green flag.
Yeah.
Because when Nate has fun, Nate hasn't played games in well, this is actually a good year for Nate.
Yeah,
Baldur's Gate, he's doing pretty well this year.
He's got some pretty good games going on. Spider-Man just came out. He'll play that probably.
Will he? Yeah, he likes Spider-Man, right? Well, he has it on it's like his entire arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's a pretty good year for Nate, but there was a while there he wasn't really playing anything except Tarkov.
Yeah.
So good year for Nate. But yeah, since if he likes it, that's like a green flag, right?
I think so. I mean, it's worth coming back. If you played Diablo and you were like, this is fine.
I don't have time.
And then you hated it.
I don't have time.
Then it's like, okay, it's worth checking out.
I don't have time.
I'll get to level 100. On this one.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you, dude. I want you to be joyful.
There's just too much out. Well, it goes back to our original conversation with Spider-Man. Is like, there's just too much out where I do want to play Spider-Man. Understand that.
I have to play Spider-Man.
But Wizard with a Gun just came out. That's an indie game that I want to try.
I saw it, though. So I kind of do know what
it is. There's a couple indie games that have popped out that...
You play the indie games, I'll play Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then you can't stop me when I want to make a game of the year.
Yeah, I know.
It's easy.
You
don't like that? I don't like that trade?
Yeah, because I'm sure Jeff's going to play it. And I don't want to get ganged up on.
Jeff will be here again as the arbiter.
Yeah.
For some reason, because we can't control ourselves.
Spider-Man's okay.
Spider-Man's great. Yeah. What are you talking about?
No, it's good. I just don't...
That's the best version of Spider-Man.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, well, what are we talking about then?
I'm talking
Spider-Man's one of the best characters ever made.
It's not the type of game I want to play right now. That's what I'm struggling with.
Okay.
Like, Spider-Man is good. It's an okay game.
Okay, well, look, the way you're phrasing it, kind of disrespectful. That's all I'm saying.
When I look inside myself,
David
and
Diver
say,
is okay. It's fine. It's an okay game. For an indie game.
Even David the Diver, they came out with a ton of extra
stuff. Bro.
I can't.
Why?
There's not enough time in the day, man.
There is.
No, I got to watch Suits with Chelsea.
You can't? A little Steam Deck action?
I could.
Oh, yeah.
But then I...
You feel bad.
The moment I start... being on my phone when I'm watching TV or something. Yeah. Like, she's constantly on her phone.
While you watch Suits?
Yeah, she never just watches
TV. Okay, so I was on board with you. Now I'm a little bit off board, so...
What do you mean?
You're saying she's on her phone constantly when you're watching TV together.
Yes.
I thought your initial point was, as soon as I start doing that, you know, I'm kind of cheating the experience, but it sounds like she's already on her phone.
It has nothing to do with cheating the experience with her. Like, we're together where it counts, right? Like, we kind of have that.
Yeah.
What I'm saying,
chalk it up on the board, man.
No, what I'm saying is, like, if I'm on my phone for a movie or a TV show, I enjoy that show, like, immensely less. Like, just if I'm not putting my full attention to the show, I do not enjoy it as much.
I thought it was about Chelsea, and it was like a sweet thing.
No.
Like,
dude,
Chelsea is the most
chill, laid back. Like, I would have to seriously try. Like, I would have to, like, not talk to her for like a month for her to, like, hey man, what are you doing?
You're both kind of laid back though.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah. Do you think that's like a, you know, you have like two protons together, a little science.
Okay.
A little science for you.
Yeah.
It doesn't repel, but you know, you kind of, a little slippery slope action because you're both super chill. So it's like nobody's like being the initiator when it comes to like, is that making sense?
You mean just in general?
Yeah, like, hey, let's go out and watch, go to a movie, or, you know, let's do something.
Yeah, for stuff like that, maybe you're right. But just for general...
I don't know.
Yeah,
I
mean, general, like, day-to-day, like, she'll come home from work, yeah, and we'll hang out, eat dinner together, watch a couple episodes or something, and we'll go and do our own thing.
Wow. You're living the life, bro.
She's the best. Yeah.
She is the best.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Nah, I like Chelsea. She's great. No, but Spider-Man's good. Spider-Man's a fantastic game. Saying it's okay, super disrespectful.
I'm sorry. I don't mean it's okay game. I mean,
I totally understand.
Good game. I just don't
you're not in the mood for it.
That's
totally understandable. But the way you're phrasing it, it's like you're taking a little dump on it.
In my mind, I'm like, all right, man, you need to play this game for Game of the Year. It's like, okay. And then it's like, you have to pay $70.
But remember what we said, dude. Remember what we said. We said, as soon as it starts feeling like work,
yeah,
you know, we don't want to do it. So, like, if you're sitting there saying to yourself, dude,
no,
I don't want it. This is a chore. I don't want you to beat your head against the wall.
I mean, you're taking point on this one, right? With Spider-Man. So, like, if we wrote something up, that would be on you.
I'm the leader.
Yeah. Okay. Then all the pressure's off me, and I'll play it. And it might be swinging around the city might be perfect for what I want. I don't know.
It's the best mechanic in any game ever.
Yeah.
I think that is the best way of traversal in any game.
Ooh.
The web slinging. Dude, even back in 2005, bro, it was so immaculate.
From what I see of this new one, I could probably get there with you. I'm trying to think of like all the different traversals.
Well, just think of the evolution of it. Like I'm saying, like even those original Spider-Man games, the web slinging was always so incredible. And that's so many generations ago. It's like, this in my mind, it's got to be the best traversal system any game.
I think the only thing that I would challenge you on, I think you're right, but the only one that I think would come close and like just is
Batman.
No. Transformers.
Transformers.
Yeah. War for Cybertron.
Wow.
Where like you're like fighting and doing things and you jump in midair.
Man, does that count though? Because that's more of an arena rather than like an explorative.
Getting from, like arena to arena, you jump in midair and like you're going through like a level and you turn into your little like plane and zip through and then like transform midair.
I think we can agree Starscream is the best Decepticon of all time.
Uh-huh.
I just want that on record.
Sure.
But having podcasts is great because like, you can just
say whatever you want. Yeah.
Well, no. You can say things and it's immortalized.
Yeah.
Like now
when they,
you know, mm-hmm, are thinking about what John Perez said 250 years ago.
Yeah.
It's on record that I said Starscream is the best Decepticon.
You have said it out loud onto the internet, mm-hmm, where if they so choose...
We will live there someday.
Every single person that downloads Spotify or any podcast for that matter
could
in theory listen and absorb your knowledge and words.
It's not a spicy take. Like I think everyone thinks that or most people think that, but I do want it to be well known that A, I'm on the Decepticon side, they did nothing wrong, and B, Starscream's the best.
Do you count Beast Wars as Decepticon Autobots, or they're slightly different technically? Because I like that Raptor or whatever, that Raptor guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think you're dating yourself.
I'm
trying to get there.
I know.
That was a cartoon, right?
It was one of the first 3D cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to get. Was that. I might be conflating some things. I'm thinking about some gargoyle thing. Is that part of that or is that a different thing?
That's the show Gargoyles.
Okay.
That's a cartoon.
Same era?
I would say that might be a little earlier, but yeah.
Same time, like back-to-back time slot? Is that how
like
I'm getting
pre, before you were born? Yeah, probably.
This is all before I was born, dude. Anything you talk about seems to be before I was born.
So you had like Gargoyles and Aladdin and like
and
those cartoons.
Yes.
Like
that was like the Sunday
King
morning.
Right.
Lineup, yeah.
And then whenever a few years go by, John Perez... Baby John Perez is born.
1997, January 18th, 10 days before
that's
Final
when
Fantasy
you were born?
7. Yeah.
I would...
The greatest game of all time.
Actually, I'm going to look it up because I would expect that's when Beast Wars...
Came
and
out?
Like Beast 97. Wars and Reboot and like all that.
I don't know what Reboot
that.
Is.
It's the...
Can I see a picture of Beast... I can just look it up.
Yeah, I'm looking it
I
up.
I think
you know.
If I see a picture of Beast Wars, it will spark my memory because my mind is like a supercomputer. Like once I get an input like I remember yes, everything. This,
Beast Wars actually debuted in 1996.
Yeah, you're
it was on for 3 years.
Beast Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, it is a Transformers thing.
It is Transformers. I just don't know if they're considered Autobots, Decepticons, or if they have their own little names.
How does this fit into the lore of Transformers?
I couldn't tell you.
This is it?
That's it, yeah. So when I saw Beast Wars...
Is this a meme?
What is?
I've seen this monkey or this ape.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's just bad CGI.
That's a meme. That's like a recent meme.
Well, I mean, I saw this like recent. It's least like
recently.
Yeah, it's a.
I think this is a recent meme. I don't remember this shit, bro. This looks like you weren't born. This looks like a bad trip.
It's not. It wasn't great. Like it was like Rat Trap. Look at this. Like there's a little rat. There's yeah. Rat
what was his name?
Named Rat Trap.
Rat Trap. That's a cool name.
Cheetor was a cheetah.
That's a less good name.
And then it's Optimus Primal. Not Optimus Prime.
This is a little off topic, so I apologize.
That's all we've been doing. We're just riffing.
Did you ever watch Bionicles? You know what that is?
Oh, I know what they are because that's the Lego spinoff thing.
No.
Bionicles?
Is that a Lego 100%
was a Lego, property.
I guess that is Lego property.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like a Lego property, but you're
It was a cool, like, hey, these kids are growing up.
That's after you.
No, that was right when I got out of Legos.
Yeah, that's the definition of after, Tyler.
No, like when I was still into Legos when Bionicles came out.
Yeah.
And then I got off Legos before I saw the next thing. That's the last.
So you were into Bionicles at first.
Yeah, yeah. That was the last thing I remember wanting in a Lego.
Mm. When did you come back into Legos?
Falcon, when Chelsea got me the Millennium Falcon.
When was that?
10 years ago.
Wow. 10 years ago, you were back in, so you were 20?
Give or take a year.
Five?
Yeah, 25.
25?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whenever we first moved in together, she got me. I guess technically it would have been our second year together. But she got me the Millennium Falcon. I cried.
Well, the Millennium Falcon, top 5 spaceship of all time.
You're really just throwing those spaceships out there, or top 5s out there.
Oh, I'm always fishing for good topics.
That's a great one.
And that one would definitely be on the list. Yeah. I will write that down. Like Apollo 11, definitely not, right? Like terrible spaceship. Maybe that's top 5 worst spaceships.
Firefly would be a good one.
I never saw Firefly. Isn't that crazy?
I feel like Star Trek would have to be on there. We can't do this now.
I hate Star Trek.
Well, it just depends on like...
I'm just kidding. I've never seen Star Trek.
Most iconic or something like that.
Well, that's always the debate. I'm trying to think. I mean, like...
Chelsea just came in. What'd you say, babe? USS Enterprise. Yeah, USS
that's
Enterprise.
The that's the Star Trek?
Star Trek, yeah.
The Normandy, obviously. That's personal. That's personal.
Yeah, Normandy's
But I don't
awesome.
Care. It's my favorite thing ever.
Our favorite thing.
Well, yeah. I sent you that video on episode 1, the spoof song.
Yeah.
What's his name? Skeeter or something?
Yeah, Skeeter.
And I will say, Tyler is an episode 1 fan. Dude.
Thank you.
He's an episode 1 fan. I didn't even remember who this kid was. Like, I had to, like, okay, I guess story time. So, Trevor Moore.
Did you see my sticker that I sent you?
With Gerard?
No. I sent, if you go back and look at the video.
Oh yeah, with him? Yeah. You sent a picture of him. Right. It's so funny. Anyways, okay, so Trevor Moore was he was a comedian. Rest in peace. And he had the sketch show called Whitest Kids You Know back in the day. Anyways, after that, he was like with Comedy Central for a while, and he would do these like albums, like these funny albums, and just do like spoofs of things. So I sent Tyler a couple of his songs. A lot of them are really fucked up and weird. He was a weird guy, but this one was like a Skeeter spoof. And the song's about... Kitster?
Kitster.
What's his name?
Kister, I think.
Anyways, so you're letting me say the wrong name?
Yeah, it's definitely not Skeeter.
That sounds right.
Okay.
That sounds like a Tatooine boy.
Yeah.
Anyways, Kitster or something?
Yeah, let me look up the spelling.
Anyways, he was like Anakin's...
K-I-T-S-T-E-R. Kitster.
Kitster. Yeah. He was like Anakin's friend in episode 1, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And I just had no recollection of this guy because he's like so insignificant. But
yeah, because it was him and it was like the little Rodian.
Yeah, they were both slaves, right?
They were all, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You're so funny, Annie.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to not remember that. It's terrible. It's just terrible. That ruins the movie.
No, that wasn't Jar Jar. That was the Rodian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had like the same voice.
Again, episode one expert out here. I'm butchering this. It's taking too long. Kitster.
Yeah.
There's a song. The song is from Kitster's perspective, talking about like what he's wondering what Anakin's up to.
Yeah.
He's like defending him when he's like kills the Jedi Temple. It's a funny song. I was literally
just laughing out loud. Chelsea was in the bathroom and like I was just laying in bed.
It's just good. Listening and laughing. It's good, right?
Yeah.
It's a good song too. Pretty catchy. Anyway, I think it's called Kitster's Song if you want to look it up on YouTube. It's so funny.
It's very funny.
But
you have to like
Tyler knows.
Yeah.
He knew immediately. He really knows Kitster. Because like I listened to this song and I was like, who the fuck? And then like, I looked it up, a picture, and it all came back to me. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What a brilliant song. So funny. Anyways, that was a big sidebar, but you should go listen to it. It's a really funny song.
Yeah. So what have you been playing?
So I have two things I've been playing. Continuing Cyberpunk. So I'm midway through the DLC now because I started Cyberpunk from the beginning, which I think that's totally the correct way to do it. I know it's a big time investment, but the 2.0 update in Cyberpunk is so good that it is worthwhile to start from the beginning, get familiar with the new skill trees, the new mechanics in the game. There's like vehicle combat now. There's like all this stuff. Melee combat's really good now. Sneaky Archer is still the greatest way to play any video game on the face of the earth, which now that I mentioned that, might be why Starfield's not higher. Like, imagine this. And we always go back to Starfield somehow, but this is important. Okay. Yeah. This is important to get on the record.
Yeah.
If Starfield had a great Sneaky Archer build, it would be up there with Skyrim. I think that might be the missing link in that game. Because Sneaky Archer build, all is forgiven. All is forgiven. Because let's put ourselves into 2011. We're sitting there on our Xbox 360 in our PJs. Eating a cinnamon Pop-Tart, probably. And we're sitting there playing the new Elder Scrolls game, Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim. Thanks, Todd Howard. And we're playing it, and then we figure out, you know, all like the collective unconscious that Sneaky Archer is the greatest build ever, and that's the only way to play the game. Like, you can try to play Magic. You can try to play Two-Hand. You can try to Sword and Board. You will always go back to Sneaky Archer. It is the pinnacle of evolution in terms of game mechanics. Now, if you have that gameplay in Starfield, and I will say the Starfield sneaky beaky mode gets really good when you get really high level, but the initial sneak is terrible.
It's too long. You can't.
No. It's not good. But the only reason I found out that the sneaky build was really good is I saw these like montages of people just destroying bases without getting caught.
Yeah.
Jumping around, going invisible. I was like, I want to play that game, but I don't want to put fucking 60 hours into it before I get there.
And it's not like, what do you get for it?
I don't know.
Like, it might feel good, but like, that's it. Like, it doesn't.
It should be there from the beginning. So that's my rant. Starfield, it would have been 3 points higher if the Sneaky Archer build was viable.
Sure. I'll give you that.
I think that's a fair assessment. Okay. Cyberpunk Sneaky Archer is great. It was great from launch, but now it's still great.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay. Because I played it.
I played it too.
I felt like I wanted more. So when you're...
Okay,
when
maybe
you're
it
talking,
wasn't great.
When you're talking Sneaky Archer and stuff, when you're like, you're sneaking around and killing people, are you hacking them too?
I am not. I go classic Sneaky Archer.
Yeah, I got you. All right.
I go Skyrim, bow, headshot.
Sure.
Quadtillion times damage.
Yeah.
Head explodes.
So that's different then because I was hoping to like hack a bunch of stuff and kill people sneakily that way. And I didn't
think that was as fun. That's the 2.0 Sneaky Archer, which is a fair way to play. Now, I will say for someone like you, the hacking components, like all the skills are so much better in the 2.0 update.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to go hacker build, totally viable now. Melee is so good. Sneak is still great. Run and guns, you know, great as well. They also have skills. So they have specific car skills now. So like they really, you know, highlighted the vehicle combat, which is really fun. Okay. I think not perfect, but still fun. That would be a really good game, like a Mad Max game where like it's all about the vehicle combat,
like Twisted Metal.
Yeah, yeah, like we need Twisted Metal back. Maybe that's
Mad Max was great.
The game
that is the perfect B game,
like an 83.
Yeah,
I could see that.
It hurt me a little bit when Jeff was calling Arkham Asylum a B game.
Well, yeah,
he's not wrong. I don't think he's wrong.
I don't. Oh, man, we're going down too many paths.
Sorry. Continue.
No, this is important to bring up because should it be? This is the same argument with Portal 1 versus Portal 2. Like, just because Portal 2 eclipses Portal 1 and you can see like a clear progression and evolution of the game, does Portal 1 get punished because of that? I don't know. Like, does Portal 1 get worse because Portal 2 realizes the full potential of what that game could have been?
Well, Jeff never played the second Batman, so he's
he doesn't even know.
Yeah, it's an older game.
Wow,
it's an older game.
Okay, so in that his totally mind,
it's more of a B
throws away my theory.
A B tier. It's one of those things like when you're looking at it, it's not like a Call of Duty. It's not a AAA title. It's just like these.
But
like,
he kinda likes Vampire the Masquerade. So that's such a
it's a B game.
Vampire the Masquerade. Yeah. He thinks that's an S game.
We're not talking tiers. We're talking, so like you have your AAA games and you have like your
budget
game. Yeah, it's just like here's a game that like it's a smaller studio or it's more of a niche title.
Why does that make you feel bad then?
Because I just love Batman. So it's just like
But that's not a knock on it then.
It's not a knock on it. I'm saying my initial knee jerk is like if you don't think the Arkham games are the best games ever made.
Yeah, but we're not talking best. You're saying we're talking budget.
I
know,
but I just said he was right. I'm just saying like that's my knee-jerk thing is like, oh, Dave the Diver is amazing. You can't say
that. Yeah, but Dave the Diver is not a AAA game. No, it's not. That's just a fact. Yeah.
No, right. I know. I'm just
I'm getting confused why you're getting offended by that.
I'm not. I'm
like
saying,
if he said Arkham Asylum is a mid game.
Yeah.
Talking like quality.
Then I would
now that's knee-jerk. Yeah, you suck at life because this is my favorite game of all time.
He was right though. It's like in this era of because like you have the Arkham Asylum games, you have Mad Max, you have there was like this like spaghetti western like shooter game. You have like
Red
your
Dead
Mirror's
Redemption?
Edge. And, no, that's the higher profile game. It was
slightly
wet something.
Wet?
Yeah.
A western game was called Wet?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what it was called. I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, in the 360 era, there was just a lot of those type of games that were like well-made, smaller experiences that you could play. Now
but not indie like, games.
Right. It was like that, middle part. Yeah.
Like a B tier.
Like you had a studio behind you, but it wasn't a
small studio.
Call of Duty. Yeah. It wasn't like Call of Duty and Madden.
I fucking hate Madden.
Yeah, I know you do.
It's just like...
I'm sorry. I got us off track. But
okay. Cyberpunk's really good. Sneaky Archer's the best way to play. If Sneaky Archer's in a game, it is the best way to play that game. I will die on that hill. I will take a sneaky arrow to the head on that hill.
Yeah.
And so I just had a blast. Cyberpunk's great. The 2.0 update's great. And it's hard to say, like, the DLC is fantastic, right? So it like definitely deserves its score. I haven't finished it yet, so I don't know if I want to necessarily score it because I want to see how it resolves just the story and everything. But it's hard to separate the DLC and the 2.0 update, right? Like they're in tandem, right? Obviously, those mechanics affect the DLC, so it's like a whole new game, right? Also, it's important to point out that playing from the beginning is extremely important because the DLC update canonically, the way it makes sense, happens like in the middle of your experience. So like in the middle or end of like Act 2 is probably the best place to start doing the DLC. And I think a lot of people just did their max character and then they went to go do the DLC right before the final mission. And I think you kind of lose a little bit there because it's, I don't want to spoil anything, but it just doesn't really make as much sense, I guess.
That's fair.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
Like you can definitely do it, but I because like what happens is you're in the middle of Act 2 and then you're just walking around and you get a call from this chick and she's like, oh, I can help you out. And it's like, it's more natural that way once you experience the game and it kind of flows within the main story of the game, right? It's kind of cool too. So you can go in and out of Dogtown, which is like the new area. So it's just totally at your own pace. You go in and out. I actually really like this mechanic that Cyberpunk does as well, which is, this is like an immersion thing, which, you know, is like really big for me. It's like you can just mainline quests, right? Like you can just force them. But like what they do to like get you to do other things and make it seem more flowing and like a real world, it's like, oh, you finish a quest. Okay, I got to get our plan together. I got to contact some people. I'll call you in like 2 days. And it's like, okay, wait 2 days until he calls you. So you could just sleep for 2 days if you want to rush that storyline. Yeah. But it's like, oh, yeah, let me go do some side quests. Let me go do some gigs. Let me progress another story while I'm doing it. It just like feels so much more natural
mm-hmm.
and immersive. I love that. So I've been having a blast. Long story short, long story long. Great game. Cyberpunk might be in my top 10. This experience. Yes, dude. Wow. This experience, it's everything I want. And I talked about this during our initial review. That world is like almost everything I love in like an aesthetic in like a world, right? Mm-hmm. Like in a not a fantasy world, but a made up world. Like it's urban environment, which is I love, you know, like I love New York City. I love that grittiness, the lights, the sex, the drugs, the you know what I mean? Like roll. All, it's like all this, like, what would you call that? Degeneracy?
Yeah.
I just think it's like, I don't know. It's like exciting. It's like bad, but it's fun.
Sure.
Anyway, so I love that. I love the atmosphere, but then you get like the nomads on the outside. You get that desertscape. So you kind of get like best of both worlds kind of deal. It's like kind of post-apocalyptic ish where it's like they're kind of rebuilding society because there's like a nuclear war and stuff. And I don't know. I just love the game. It's so good. The combat feels great. I think the story's pretty solid.
I guess they're going to be doing Witcher before they come back to Cyberpunk then, I guess, huh?
Yeah. So I was reading an article. This is the only DLC they're doing. They're not doing any more DLC because specifically they're moving on to Unreal Engine. They theorize that if they work with an established engine like Unreal, they're not going to run into as many problems as using whatever, I forget what their engine's called, but
that's a shame because I think Witcher still might be one of the best looking games. Just like in
full
like
time,
just like walking around, the way the lighting hits and everything, like it's very well done.
I think the best looking game of all time,
it's Horizon.
Red Dead 2?
I think Horizon looks better.
Much better.
Yeah.
The new Horizon?
Yeah.
We haven't even seen it on PC.
I know.
I don't know if you can say that. Like, Red Dead 2 on PC is better than Horizon on PS5? Or worse than Horizon on PS5?
I think it's apples and oranges in that Red Dead 2 is very realistic looking, but Horizon is just so freaking beautiful. And like,
Horizon's great.
No other game makes me stop and be like, oh my goodness, like I can't believe how good this looks, or just like the light.
I don't think it gets enough credit either.
Right, yeah.
It really doesn't. But
that's very subjective. That's my opinion. Yeah, I think they do a lot of really good stuff with it that I think looks gorgeous. And so varied and stuff, yeah.
Anyway. I don't know. It's a tough one. I mean, there's a lot of good-looking games.
Forza? Not good.
Yeah, so anyways, the other game I was playing, Forza Motorsport. So they did a Mortal Kombat kind of thing where they just dropped the number. For some reason.
Well, Mortal Kombat kept the number. They just went back to one.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I guess they reset. This time they dropped the number. Super disappointing. Forza is super just disappointing.
Not better.
I wanted to love this game. And my history with Forza is like, I'm not like this huge, longtime Forza fan. Like some people who listen to me might think that. Forza Horizon 5 was the first Horizon game I ever played. And then the only Forza Motorsport game I played was Forza Motorsport 2, which came with my Xbox 360. So it's been a very long time since I played that. I just like cars. So it's like,
yeah.
And not the Pixar movie, although I do like the Pixar movie. I'm talking about cars as in automobiles.
Automobiles.
But I did play Gran Turismo.
Is it Forza with a T? No. I know it's not spelled that way, but I think it's pronounced Forza. It always gets me.
Forza.
That's how the guy pronounced it in the trailer.
Yeah, but was he American?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Now you got me thinking.
Nah, whatever.
Yeah, so Forza was like super disappointing. Now what? Okay, let me.
You talked a little bit about this last week.
Yeah,
but so it just didn't get better. Did you play more of it?
I did. Ultimately, dude, the game is like just kind of boring,
mm-hmm.
which is so sad. And I don't think like you might say someone like you might say, oh, I just like the arcade racing more, which is totally viable. I am on board for the motorsport aspect of it, right? But I think how the game is structured, it's just so slow, and it's structured in a way that is like you can't be that slow in 2023, and you can't be that slow in a racing game. So what do I mean by slow? I mean that, first of all, you have to do a practice run every time before a race. So you got
to
do
have to?
You have to. Unless they changed it. Like when I was playing it, I had to do a practice run.
Yes.
Unless I'm stupid and I didn't figure out how to skip it. I'm pretty sure I had to do a practice run.
Okay.
So I have to do 3 laps of a practice run, which is like, that's not short. And yep. Especially if it's a longer track. And then I got to do 3 to 5 laps of the race right after that. That's like crazy, dude. That's, I don't know. Like, what would be way better is, and what they did in previous games, is if you qualify. So you do your practice runs, you like adjust shit, and then you pick what position you're in, and then adjust how many points you're going to get if you, you know, place or whatever. So there's, you know, you pick where you start, which is the stupidest shit I've ever, like, why would you do that?
I mean,
why would you not just start in first place every time? It's just easy.
Was that like a difficulty tweak?
I guess, but there's also a difficulty slider.
Oh, is there?
And then there's rule settings where it's like, oh, you can have like realistic tire wear and cosmetic damage.
Oh, yeah. And like if you hit someone, yeah.
Which is cool. I like that. That's good features. I think all of that is done really well. I think like the technology itself has come a long way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I think the tire wear is realistic. I think the cosmetic damage is a lot better, obviously, than it used to be. Like a lot of that stuff's good. I think the driving feels really nice too. So like all the mechanics and that aspect are really good. But like it's just like, dude, I have to race like 6 laps before I finish this level, and then that's 1 of 5 to complete like the first circuit or whatever. Like the game takes forever.
But see, that's the thing with Horizon, where like I don't think there was that big of. I mean, granted, I'm not nearly into these games as much as you are, but like the actual driving, like the races, didn't seem that different between Forza Motorsport and Horizon 5.
It's not huge. It's not huge.
So it's like you have roughly the same thing. Then if you don't want to do the practice run, you don't want to do this. It's like okay, and then. You have this open world that you just kind of go through and explore it and just take in the amazing looking scenery.
Yeah.
Everything I played in this one is just like gray and boring and just like, I don't know. Like I just wasn't.
It's the realistic motorsport. Now, like here's the thing, dude, you're absolutely right. But I think again, that comes down to like, you just prefer like the arcade version of it, which is totally fine. I think a lot of people do. And like, this is for the hardcore, you know, racers type. People.
Yeah, but you're not getting the hardcore, according to what you're saying.
I think if you're that into it, and you know, I'm not that good, so I can't really discern too much of a difference. But I think like if you're really into it, you can definitely.
Is it like the?
It's more realistic than Forza.
Three
for
screens,
sure. Horizon,
your pedals and your steering wheel all set up and go that route.
Well, I have my steering wheel and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. No, yeah. People get into. They have like gloves and stuff. Yeah. Dude, they get so into it. It's crazy. But I just think the way it's structured, it's dumb. Like I was thinking like they didn't have a lot of tracks. Like I was going back and looking at past games.
Yeah, did you go back and check? Like were there more tracks back then?
I wasn't able to determine because there's like so many DLCs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what like the launch was, but I don't know. Like they have some of the iconic tracks. Like they have Maple Valley, obviously, which is like the staple from Forza. You know, they have Le Mans 24-hour track, which is like iconic, but they have like the Nürburgring, but only the Grand Prix part of it. They don't have the whole, or you know, the whole track. And it's like, oh, that's coming later. I'm like, dude, this is one of the most iconic tracks in the world, and you don't have it on launch. It was just super strange to me.
Yeah, but that could be.
There's one or like 2 Formula One cars in the game. Like, so weird, dude. Just like, And I know they got to have DLC, but I think it was lackluster, the amount of cars.
Yeah, but at the expense of the game itself. Like, I don't know. There used to be a thing where it was like when games came out, the sequel was just bigger and better.
Yeah, there were like 200 less cars than like Horizon.
It's crazy.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
That's wild. Like, yeah. Shouldn't you at least match Horizon? Like, I know Horizon has like trucks in it and other things, but
yeah,
like,
but it also has a freaking open world.
Like, well, that's what I'm saying. It's different.
Yeah.
But we can't go more in detail with the, there's a million cars you can put in this game.
That's my argument.
Yeah.
Is like, if Horizon has more and it has the open world, like if you took away the open world and said, we're just going to focus on the cars instead.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I'll give you that. But if you cut back the cars and the tracks and it's just like, I will not be shocked whenever it's like, hey, buy this new track and three cars or whatever for $10 or whatever.
No, it's already
bleed it dry.
That's 100% what they're going to do, and it's the perfect kind of game to do that for, because it's like, here's a car pack, here's a car pack, here's a car pack, and it's kind of scummy, but like, I can't complain too much
until the Game of the Year edition comes out.
I can't complain too much because it's like, it's on Game Pass, so like, it was $10.
Yeah,
if that's how you want to calculate it. So it's like, okay, you know, I'm getting this game for $10, so like, I don't know, you have to balance it,
but then you also have Horizon 5 that you could just download.
Well, yeah, and there's so many things out now,
right?
But I think my biggest gripe of the entire game is definitely the biggest gripe is the leveling system. The leveling system is terrible in this game. You have to level your individual car, and not even the type of car. So if I level my Mustang and I buy a new Mustang, like the same Mustang, mm-hmm. but I have two, that one starts at level 0. I don't save the progress that I have driving the Mustang. Yeah, isn't that fucking crazy? I have to re-level it. It's like the individual car itself.
That they got to change that.
That's stupid. And here's the problem with this. You level these cars, and the different parts of your car are locked until you reach a certain level.
Yeah.
So I can't buy a certain caliber of brakes until I reach a certain level.
That sounds like
a turbo
Call of Duty crap.
It's horrible. The fun thing about Forza was like, oh, if I have the points, if I have the money, I can upgrade my car. It's all there. I can see all my upgrades. I can scope out what I want to accomplish once I get enough points. And the thing is, too, is like, once I get enough experience, you know, trying to get the money to buy all these parts, I'm going to start knowing what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So once I'm like 60 hours in the game, for example, and I get a brand new car, now I'm locked out of all these things. Like, I know what path, I know what's good, but I'm locked out of it until I level up this car, and I have to wade through the shit of this car until I can get the good parts.
See, like, that's the thing, and this is similar to what I was just talking about with Diablo, where it's like, companies are like artificially bloating their stuff to make you play more, to make you do this, and it's not fun. And I understand that, like, there's some boardroom somewhere with like a line and a whiteboard, and they're like, well, we have to get this many hours on a daily basis to get this money, whatever. But like, don't underestimate the fun. If you take out all the BS and take out all the crap and just make it fun and make it feel like, I can't believe they're letting me do this.
Yeah.
That's a great feeling 100% of the time.
And it's like, it's not this, I mean, it's like apples and oranges, because like Diablo 4 obviously is like very different experience, right? Like, this is supposed to be hyper realistic, whatever. But tell me what's hyper realistic about leveling up a car and being locked out of automobile parts. It's like, no, if I can afford the fucking car or the part, I can buy the part.
Right. And if you want to talk about like, oh, well, you have to have experience with how it handles or whatever. It's like, yeah, you just did that. You got the parts that you wanted.
Yes.
Put them on another, like, yeah.
Or let's say you're some rich kid and you buy all these parts and you start crashing your car. That's as realistic as it gets, right? Like, I mean, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
So I hate the leveling system. I think it's the worst thing about the game. And then I guess some more specific gripes. On a technical level, the game runs really weird on PC, at least. Like, I haven't played on Xbox. I heard on Xbox it's actually pretty smooth, but like Digital Foundry's video, they said it was pretty good. But like on PC, man, the cutscenes are atrocious. My frames go down to like 15 on the cutscenes. So you have these cinematic cutscenes, they're trying to do all this artsy crap at the beginning of the game. It looks like shit. And I like can't even skip it half the time.
I know. Yeah, unskippable videos.
Unskippable, and it runs like fucking garbage.
So is it a pre-rendered video? It's not like trying to render in a higher...
It has to be trying to render in something. Why would it tank the frames otherwise?
Yeah,
unless there's a huge data leak, or something, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm going to pretend I know what I'm fucking talking about, but like,
well, a memory leak wouldn't, you would see that elsewhere. Like, it wouldn't be just
I don't even know. I don't know.
Yeah.
The driving itself, I experienced pretty smooth. I know Tyler's run into issues where the world was disappearing or something.
It was 120 frames as the world was disappearing.
I know from what I've seen online, like the track will disappear.
That's what happened to me. It just went black. Yeah.
I know like the winter screen, people will disappear. There'll be glitches. So I like the way it runs, it's not clean. It's not clean.
And like, this is what I said last week, where like, if you have the guts to drop the number and say, this is Forza Motorsport, this is like
definitive.
Yeah. And Need for Speed just did this like less than a decade ago.
Yep.
So it's not like, oh, we had no idea this was going to be a thing. Like, if you want to do that, like, you better make this like the game.
Right. And like, it's not.
If Call of Duty dropped it and just said, hey, we're just calling ourselves Call of Duty, that Call of Duty better be the top tier, you know, like whatever. And it's just, man.
So honestly, game's just super disappointing. I just think they're leaving so much on the table too. Like, I was just thinking about this so much during my time playing it. It's like, and this isn't fair when you're reviewing a game, I guess. But I'm like, dude, there's such a great opportunity for someone like Tyler or someone like me specifically, where it's like, I like cars. I'm not super into the whole motorsport thing. Like, I don't watch motorsports or anything, but like, I will tell you, when I saw Ford versus Ferrari, I looked into the Le Mans, which is the 24-hour race they host in France every year. And then I started looking into these endurance racing circuit things, which is like such a cool, like, I started getting into it because of this one property that was like, wow, that's really cool. And they have such an amazing opportunity, especially in a video game format versus a movie.
Yeah.
To get players into that. Like, talk about the history of these tracks. Like, when you select the track and like, I mean, they do a little bit. Talk about these cars. Like, I don't know. Like, when you're in the selection screen and they're talking about the cars before you go into the cup or whatever they, you know, the circuit or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
It's like an advertisement, it seems like, rather than like...
Well, yeah, I picked a Civic, right? Like, that's... Yeah. And I'm sure you picked the Mustang.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, the Civic, it was, like, almost the same intro. Like, I could almost hear it from every other Forza.
Yeah,
game, where it's just like, ah, the Civic's a tried and true, always, you know, tweaking or whatever. Like, whatever their intro thing was. Yeah. Like, this tells me nothing. It's not, like...
Just, I don't... Like, tell me the history of Honda. How did the Civic come about? What's the legacy of Honda's racing team? Or, like, something, like, cool. Something, like, gets the blood flowing. Like, oh, man, this is a legacy. This is, like... This goes back forever. That was what was cool about Ford versus Ferrari, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, like 100 years ago, like, America did this amazing thing where they won this race. They thought it was impossible. They made this amazing car, the Ford GT. I don't know. So I just think there's an opportunity to talk about the cars, to talk about the tracks, the history of the tracks, to talk about how racing works. Like, not in a boring way. Like, you'd have to do it in an engaging and exciting way. And of course, that's easier said than done. But like, I think there's such an opportunity there. And then you get people like me who are on the fringe that get them into it, get them into like racing. Like, oh, this event takes place every year. Here's how it works. Like, here's, you know, historically the manufacturers who are the best at these events. And here's what makes it so difficult or whatever. Right. I don't know. I just think there's a missed opportunity there. And that kind of goes into like the parts too. I think I would love to see just more detail in the parts. Like, you have like racing brakes and like regular brakes instead of like, here's Brembo brakes. Like, here's the manufacturer.
Yeah, like, it really...
Like, go in depth. Like, that, it looks the same as Horizon. I know it's a little bit more in depth than Horizon, but like, just go crazy with it. Maybe it's a licensing thing. You can't get the manufacturers, but if you can get the cars, I don't know why you couldn't get the manufacturers, but it's like... Yep. Here's a V12 blah 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 engine, and then it gives you a fucking description of like, here's what that means, here's why there's an advantage picking an engine like this or a disadvantage. And it's like, I just think you can get people more into the sport that way, right? Mm-hmm. It just interests them. So, long rant there. Forza's like super disappointing.
What did Forza get on OpenCritic?
84.
84. So just mid level.
84 is like a solid silver in our system. 84 is a epic, an orange guy, top tier.
Is it?
Yes, yes. That's where it starts.
Okay.
Which I don't think it belongs in that tier at all.
No.
If anything, it's like a purple. I'll give it a purple because, like, here's the thing. I think the driving's good. I think it's tight. I think it looks good when it's running well. It looks good. It's a good-looking game. Yeah. The cars look awesome. I love the ray tracing. But just disappointing. It's more disappointing. Like, you have to always remember, like, just because something's disappointing doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. But, man, was this disappointing.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
What was the, like, what's the highest Xbox game recently? That's like a AAA, like, from Xbox, like...
Define recently. Like, last year?
Not, dude, I don't know. Since, for the, I don't know, past 5 years.
Gears?
Gears 5?
Yeah.
Was that 5 years? I feel like it's been longer than that. I was going to say, like, Starfield.
Might be on the...
I don't know.
On the long end of 5 years. I think it's within 5 years.
Yeah. That's... wild.
They just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Halo's Halo count?
Yeah, of course it does. I forget what one. Halo got. What would Halo get? 89 maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think it hit 90s, but meanwhile,
Halo Infinite was good though.
Just, yeah. It was fine. It's just again, it's not.
Not
it,
finished.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's
fucking crazy.
It's messy. You get these polished games from Sony and Microsoft is like.
Because they have Game Pass. They have all the money in the world. They're a Bond villain, dude. Just, they literally
crawling across the line.
But, I don't know.
But, and this is the transition, is you have all these indie games that are coming out that are great. And I played Cocoon, which is the, if you played Limbo or Inside, and it's, you know, like a puzzle game. And that game is very cool. It's like kind of like isometric top down and stuff. And it's puzzle. So, like, you don't like puzzle games. I don't know how much you would necessarily like this one per se, but it's the kind of the cerebral like world in a world in a world type of thing. So like you're this little bug and you go around, you know, this world and you get this like marble, right? And you, if you put the marble on this pad, you can actually jump into the marble. So like you start off in like a desert world and you find a green marble and you put the green marble in a pad, you jump into like a forest world, and then there's like a almost like an insect world and like a white world and stuff. So it's like you have like orange, green, purple, and white. And you have all these worlds, but the weird thing is you can take like the green marble, bring it into the orange world, but then you can jump out of the orange world, grab the orange marble, and bring it into the white world. So then the white world has orange and green. So you have to like layer all these things on top of it to like solve puzzles and stuff.
Yeah.
And each marble gives you special abilities and powers and things like that. There's really no story. I'm sure you could kind of derive some sort of story if you really wanted to make something up.
Right.
But it was like a tight 4 or 5 hour experience, depending on how quickly the puzzle clicked with you and stuff. But really, like, it's a perfect example of looks really good, great art style, the movement's really good, just like the little tiny animations and the way that the like the light shimmers on certain things and the subtle ways of like you just know what world you're in because of like the subtle colors and how everything goes. So like with no talking, no text, no nothing, it's all just you're in the game and you're doing things to figure it out. Really, really well done. And but that's a perfect example of how polished that game is. And granted, this is their third one to, you know, whatever, but like it's a huge difference between a tight, polished, well-designed experience versus just something that's like AAA bloat. This has to be a games for service, blah, 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 blah. You know, like it's just, I feel like Microsoft is almost the DC of, right?
That's funny.
Like it's like if you're looking at these indie titles as like the TV show or like these small experiences or these one-off Joker movies or whatever.
Right, right.
Microsoft does that really well
where
Sony is closer to Marvel where they're just doing these like big blockbuster hits and they don't really bother with a lot of like the little guy stuff, but man, they hit these like AAA things out of the park. So I don't know.
So that's a good analogy.
It was really good. If you're into puzzle games at all, I think Cocoon is worth playing. Like, is it in my top 10 for this year? It's a stacked year. So I don't know if it's necessarily going to make it, but it's good. I enjoyed it a lot.
No, it's awesome. I mean, yeah. The priorities are different, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's hard to pinpoint what it is too. Like, is it the pressure? Is it the deadlines that these AAA studios are under? Is it just the priorities, right? Like maybe they're just focusing on the wrong things.
It's just money. I think if you look at, and I'm not saying this is for Forza, but if you look at a lot of games and a lot of like the development cycle and stuff like that, like people are leaving studios constantly.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, this person left. And then there's always like a little blurb of like, oh, but all the writing was done, so it's not a big loss. Or, oh, well, yeah, but this is further along, so it's in good spot. They can leave. And it's the same. It's always bad. Like, it was the same thing with Diablo, where the people left and all that stuff happened with Blizzard and stuff, and they gotten, and then they brought in the Gears of War guy to finish it off and whatnot. And it's just like, if you look at what's happening in studios and like, creative differences, and this person leaves, and this person comes out, and it's like, you can see where, oh, this just stalled. And there's only so much you can blame with like COVID, because like you're starting to see a lot of like the issues with COVID finally like cropping up of like, okay, this was delayed forever, or this came out and it was just a mess because we didn't know how to work remote, whatever. But yeah, like if you specifically with Diablo, specifically with like, I mean, look at like Mass Effect, look at Dragon Age, look at everything with BioWare. Yeah. You know, it's just like people are leaving left and right. Everything in Blizzard, like Warcraft, like Metzen just came back.
Yep.
Because that thing is just so, I don't want to say dead in the water. People love that game, but it's just like things are stalled everywhere because like there's no new like, oh, I'm thinking. That's why I love the indie world, is because that's the only place that I feel is novel and still moving forward in some ways, or still taking a genre and turning it on its head, or creating new cool experiences.
Yeah. I don't think it's hopeless. Like, look at Larian, dude. Like, they're just killing it, obviously.
Sure.
I mean, and that's like an outlier, I guess. But even like CD
Projekt. But they're not publicly traded, right? Like, they're, that's a difference.
CD Projekt Red, like, say what you will about the launch of Cyberpunk, they doubled down, committed to it, and that game is in such a fantastic spot. Like, it doesn't forgive the launch of the game, but man, did they stick with it and make
sure. Who are they owned by? They're on their own, too. So it was more CD? Of like a pride thing. Yeah.
They got to be owned by someone, right?
I don't think any developer puts a game out, gets middling or poor reviews, and then says to themselves like, oh, well, I'm sure every single developer takes it personally to some degree and wants to put out the best thing or fix the best thing, or
of course.
Just knows, right?
Of course.
It's not that. It's just like, it's a very clear distinction when you see the publisher come in, Microsoft, EA, whatever, and being like, no, this has to go out at this point because we have to hit
like,
bottom line.
Mass Effect 3, they were kind of defending their work a lot. You know what I mean? They were like, no, this is good. Well, not really. I mean, like,
he's also gone, and it's also
that was like a decade ago.
What can you say?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, like,
but they were like,
oh, paycheck.
You know, I don't know. They put out that slideshow. I'm just still traumatized. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just like bringing that up because I hate everything. Yeah, I don't know, dude. Like, of course, like as an artist, you want that. It is personal, right? Like, it's 100% personal. You know, you're putting all this work into it, and you're putting your own soul into it, right? Mm-hmm. More or less. Sounds dramatic, but that's the artistic world. But so like, people don't like it. People like are ripping it apart. Absolutely, that's got to be terrible feeling and be very personal, and you want to definitely fix that like immediately.
Yeah, like I'm just saying, like whenever we're like crapping all over a game, we're not saying like, oh, the developers are poor or anything like that. It's just like, you know, like I'm sure there's a million different things that happen and whatnot. I just, it's hard to believe that a lot of the stuff that comes out, people are just like, oh, we had no idea, right? Like, I think there's like a give and take on like, we have to either hit our deadline. Like, is putting a game out with bugs more of a detriment or less of a detriment than losing
the profits from
the quarter or doing whatever? Like,
that's where the whiteboard comes in, man. And it has to be the latter or whatever you said.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it has to be, we put the game out, it's not at 100%. We're going to incrementally patch it, but we're going to hit our...
I just hate what it does.
Stockholder meeting or whatever.
But it's like, that's the accepted thing. And this is why people, like when people are like pushing back against Larian, right? And saying like, well, you shouldn't expect this type of, like, why? Explain to me why.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, it's possible. We saw it's possible. And I understand, like, the critique is like, oh, it's just not a realistic development cycle. It's like, well, look, this is like what Larian did is how early access should work. Like, you see all this early access bullshit where the game just never comes out,
mm-hmm.
like Star Citizen. Like, if you ever invested money into Star Citizen, you're gullible uh-huh. and got scammed.
Yeah.
Like, straight, they stole your money, and that game's never going to get finished. So, like, if you gave them even a dollar, it's like you literally crumpled up a George Washington and threw it in the trash bin because it was a straight Ponzi scheme.
Uh-huh.
Game looks great, though.
Yeah.
It looks fine. Like the graphics on it look great.
Runs like crap, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, early access. It's like that's how you actually do it. Like that game was out for years. They were refining it. They do an amazing job of listening to player feedback,
mm-hmm.
adjusting things. Like if you look at the initial conception of that game, they didn't have any dice rolls in it. They didn't have a lot of the spells that we know from D&D. They didn't have a lot of this stuff where players are like, no, you need this. And they just...
Like Karlach looked completely different.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Like go back and look at the I don't want to say alpha, but like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a beta at that point, I guess? Whatever. Yeah. Like go look at that game initially. Totally different game.
Mm-hmm.
And Act 1 was so polished because they had years of that feedback. And like you get to Act 3, there's more bugs and whatever, but I think it's still a great game. But my whole point to this is like if they can do it, why can't other people do it? Like they're saying that that's not realistic, but they did it and they did it correctly, which means anyone should theoretically be able to do that correctly.
It's not realistic to big publishers' demands of we need this to generate X amount of money. We need cosmetics.
By X amount of date.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, in that respect, sure, but that's not, like, you would be hard-pressed to find a gamer that's like, no, I have to have my Call of Duty, I don't care what state it's in, give it to me in November. Like, you would have to be hard-pressed
for that. Well, I don't know, dude. Like, remember when Cyberpunk was coming out and they delayed it? People were getting mad, dude, like, after the third delay.
Well, that's because they kept delaying it. Yeah, sure, they kept delaying it, but it was one of those things, like, just stop.
Yeah,
like don't give a date.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's not hard. That's,
yep. I remember that.
Skull and Bones is the exact same thing.
Yep, same thing.
Like it's becoming a meme where it's like, dude, if you just like don't
delayed indefinitely.
Delayed indefinitely. Well, you can't see that's the thing is you can't say that because then people just think, oh, it's going to get canceled or whatever. It's just like,
no, indefinite means indeterminate.
Just say
delay. Yeah, it's delay.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, hey, we're making it the best experience.
Yes.
And then that's it. And they did that with Starfield, and it still isn't like...
Yeah.
Like, Starfield took another year or something.
I mean, like, you just refined the Sneaky Archer, and I'm telling you that game... you laugh. I'm telling you that game's better.
I feel pretty confident that that game is out and done, and they're never going to... Like, they'll give you the... Because they have to, right? Like, they have to do the DLC because people paid for it.
Yes.
But I think they're done with it.
You might be right. I'm huffing the hopium, but what I did say initially was like, I think modders will save the game, but...
Yeah, but it has to be worth saving.
That's nothing to do Bethesda.
Like,
I think it is. I don't know.
Modders will do it, and we don't have to rehash.
The sandbox is there. Like, it's there. The framework's there.
But you have to have the player base where modders feel... I'm not saying all modders, but I'm saying like, if you're... a modder and you're looking at like, okay, do I want to develop for Starfield or do I want to develop for Skyrim? And you know Skyrim has X amount of player base and Starfield's like this big, who knows?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Unless you just want to challenge yourself or try something new, sure.
When the modding tools come out next year, let's see what happens.
Sure. But that's another thing is like, it's wild that they know how important that is. And it's just like, I honestly got to go back and check. Like, did they get the FOV slider in there? Do they have DLSS?
Yeah.
They were going to. Did they ever actually patch it in? Or is it just one of those things that just kicked down the road?
Right.
Where's Redfall? They said that they were going to fix that game.
Shit, dude. Well, we knew that was a lie.
No, right. But they said, oh, we're working on the 60 frames. Like, that will get patched in.
I think they did do that.
Did they?
I thought so.
All right. How's Halo doing? Is Forge officially out yet? Or is that still in beta?
Halo.
You know what I mean? But like, it's these like...
Halo was good too.
Promise, 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 and we'll do it, we'll do it, we'll do it until
Halo was good too.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the thing.
You don't
think so? No. It is, but it's just like there's no co-op in a game that is like that's Halo.
That's what we all remember is playing split screen co-op with our friends.
Yeah, I don't even care about split screen co-op.
Yeah,
it's
but
just
you know what I mean. But that's like.
It's
when
wild.
We think about Halo, you think about playing with your cousin on Legendary.
Yeah.
You did the midnight release, you went home, you played Halo.
Yeah.
Like that's the memories you have, and it's like it's not gonna be in the core game.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're literally the whole point of us beating this cow to death with a paddywhack, a knickknack, beating this cow till it's dead. Is like we're the legacy of Halo. We're like, hey, remember when Halo was awesome and you were in high school and things for you were drinking Mountain Dew and shotgun and Red Bulls and awesomeness?
Yeah.
Cheeto dust on your hands and playing games and Doritos all over the place.
That's the whole point.
And it's like you don't have like the key. I don't know. Is what I'm saying make sense?
Yeah. But that's the thing is
and
they're
Forge,
getting away from that. It's just, it's.
Like, why can't I play Cops and Robbers in Halo?
If you have to start dividing your game, Call of Duty's not. Call of Duty's technically a little above board, but they're like, oh, here's early access for like the campaign. Like, they're just splitting things out and doing these different things because they have like 12. Like, I was doing the beta and there was like 12 different developers working on it.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, it's Infinity War and they got the big one. And then it's like eight other logos on the screen with from Treyarch to Sledgehammer to Ravensoft, whatever. It's just like, dude, how many
it's like
people
the Super
do you have
Smash Bros. Of
to
development.
Dude, it is such a...
Everyone's there.
I was disappointed. It was... Playing that beta, it was like, okay, like my cousin was into it, which is fine. It was Call of Duty, and I did really well playing the beta. But man, is it like... It's not a step... It's... You get a couple new maps, a couple new guns, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's
aren't they all like old maps?
It's Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah. That one's Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. It's like you aren't doing enough to be like, yeah, you change the font back to the original font to evoke some sort of nostalgia thing, which isn't wrong. And that felt good. But like for whatever reason, maybe this is just me, but like bullets whizzing past my head sounded more like lasers than anything. And I'm just like, what is this? And then like,
that's surprising because Call of Duty is usually like
it had great,
amazing.
Modern
sound
Warfare
design.
Had amazing sound design.
Yeah,
Modern Warfare 2 was like okay, it's getting a little weird, and then Modern Warfare 3, it's just like it's not a step. It's DLC. Like it is DLC that you are paying $70 for,
but they're putting a 3 after it. It's a scam.
It blows my mind.
Yeah, and it's $70. Yeah,
and when you have the beta out,
not on Game Pass.
Not on Game Pass. Yeah. No, not until next year.
Yeah.
Wow. At least there's an article that came out. I didn't read it.
That's crazy.
And it's one of those things, like, when you have a beta comes out, and it's like, oh, we have 5 maps, and one of those maps is Rust, which is already in Modern Warfare 2.
Yep.
It's
a scam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gaming's in a weird spot, dude, which is, like, I don't know. And the funny thing is we had, like, one of the best years in gaming in, like, the last decade or ever.
Yeah, we'll have to do that top 5 because there are a lot of really good years. But look, Call of Duty is fine. It's more Call of Duty. I hate the fact I got to pay $70 to play with my cousin. That annoys me.
No, I'm with you, dude. Call of Duty's always been just kind of scummy.
They're getting more and more that way. Like the UI still sucks. The funny thing is the beta actually had good UI because it was stripped down. It was just like a...
Yeah, right?
But it's a perfect example of to play that game, I had to launch Modern Warfare 2.
Yep.
I had to click Modern Warfare 3,
yep.
Closes Modern Warfare 2, launches Modern Warfare 3, new shaders have to compile.
Yep.
And it's just like, okay.
Dude, like, even Cyberpunk, bro, you got to do the CD Projekt Red launcher.
Yeah.
I hate that. Why do we live in the world like
it's corporate stuff?
Making your own launcher is actively makes me not want to buy shit from you.
Yeah.
Like when you advertise all this shit in your stupid fucking garbage launcher, it makes me not I want to actively boycott it because you're making me do this launcher.
Buying a game on a platform. So buying a game on Steam that then forces you to open up a different launcher. But that's all corporate crap, man.
I hate it, dude. They should give you a warning on Steam, too. Because, like, I had to do that for Rainbow Six Siege. all the time.
Yeah, they do. There's like a little disclaimer now. Like I'll say, like,
not back in Rainbow Six Siege.
I don't remember back then, but
it's like every time I gotta I click it on Steam, and here comes Ubisoft.
I still can't get Ubisoft Plus.
Yeah,
I keep trying to do it, and it keeps erroring out. And I'm like, dude, I don't. I've tried two cards. I'm like, I'm not gonna. I'm trying to give you money,
yeah,
so I can play your game.
You're saying, no,
and you're
no.
like, no, no, give me the $50.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm not paying
no,
that.
No. Yeah, it's I don't know, man. There's just a lot of scummy things, and that's what happens. Like when things go mainstream, the corruption comes in, the greediness comes in. It's just how life works. It's like yep. disappointing, but you know, I don't want to be too negative about it because, like I said, this is one of the best years in gaming we've ever had. It's up there. Like, it's you can't good, deny yeah. that. There's so many amazing quality games. That's why I'm like positive on the outlook of gaming, the gaming industry, because I just think that in the end, there will be people out there who are going to put amazing products out. There's going to be another story to tell. There's going to be another piece of technology to showcase. There's going to be another mechanic that performs amazingly well, that's unique and feels amazing to play, and it's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, you know, that's... And that's the optimist to me. Like, that always wins out against, like, the corporate. Like, they're going to try to monetize that shit, but there will always be examples that shine through, whether it's through indie or Sony or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just think, you know, you can't – it's like nature, man. You can't stop it. It's gonna grow somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I'm excited for our Game of the Year discussion this year. I think we played a fair number of games. Gonna be really
we'll have to come up with some good categories. Game of the year, I think we're pretty much lined on it, but like who knows, maybe we'll have honorable mentions and things like that. But
yeah,
I really want to talk through like sound design and best moment in the game and different things like that. Like I mean, and I'm not saying this counts, but like playing Diablo and just being like, dude, we can just keep going, like because it's like whole like we're just keep summoning the boss.
That realization.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, that's pretty cool.
Hey, dude, I'm good. Look, I that's what it's all about, man.
Yeah.
That's like games.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be realistic. It doesn't have to be the best looking game ever. It's just like you can have a little
pixelated
diver.
Yeah.
Sushi. Like on paper, that sounds so stupid, but it's like, and it's an amazing experience.
Yeah.
That's why I liked Resident Evil so much. It was like, hey, remember when games were just wacky and fun. Capcom's like weird.
Yep.
Leon's just like this cringe.
And it was on rails guy, and
but
tight
it's like funny.
Go to point A and point
it's
B. And
it's tight.
Things,
the mechanics like, are good. Yeah. It's not like a realistic. It's not like a Last of Us. Although Last of Us like a great, you know, games. You
remember Hogwarts came out this year.
Hogwarts is great. Yeah. Great game. Like all the pressure is on that game.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into that discussion now. We gotta wait.
Yeah.
But
fair enough.
It's gonna be a fun one. I'm curious, like what Jeff thinks. He always manages to disagree with
his homework. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he does his homework. Me and Jeff are pretty much opposites. I fire from the hip. I like clownfish. He prepares.
Yeah.
Hates clownfish.
Yeah.
Fucking hates.
Talking about last week's episode.
Yeah. Salty.
Couldn't tell.
Look, I'm happy with Uncle Phil being number one. Spoilers. But, like, to say that Marlon didn't belong on the list, that's crazy to me.
He's not on my list, but...
I know, but it's... Yeah. But you. I don't know. You hate Finding Nemo. You didn't get hugged enough as a child. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But don't take that out on the clownfish.
Look, man, it's on the list. I want to... I gave you that.
I know. All right.
That's it.
That's all I got. You made it this far. We appreciate it. Little
nice chill episode.
Chill episode. A little ranting. But it's good. Sometimes it's cathartic to get that out.
Yeah. Top five spaceships.
I wrote it down. Yeah, it's a good one.
Maybe we
next week.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. But yeah, check us out. Couchcompany.games. All of our stuff's on there. The podcast is on there. We have our top fives on there, which might need to be updated.
Yeah, I didn't put the fathers yet. Yeah, I didn't put that on.
I already spoiled it. So check it out there. You can see our other top fives if you want to get angry unreasonably. And we have our game, like we rated our games on there. Tyler redid it all. It looks really nice. It's on our Notion board. So check that out. And check us out on Twitter at CouchCo Games. Star Wars sweeped this week. Sweeped.
Yeah.
Sweep. I haven't checked it recently, but this afternoon.
I'm not upset about Star Wars.
It's close, just, right? Yeah. Like, it's close.
Yeah.
Both iconic, amazing soundtracks. But I do think, like, John Williams is the GOAT. Movie yeah. sound. Like, that's, you can't argue that.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. All right, that's it. That's all we got. Yeah, we're going to be here. Same time, same place next week. Thanks for joining us on the couch.